Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is the reading from the letters, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning in chapter 3. It's at the top of the back page of your bulletin, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So far, our reading, we pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Set us apart from this sinful world. Sanctify us unto yourself with the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, are you competitive? I think that trait is in a lot of people. When we see an appealing challenge, our attention narrows and our determination increases, and we look forward to the prize. Some people find that challenge in sports and they find that irresistible. They love playing sports and competing. Some people compete in academics. Some people look forward to the challenge of doing the job right. St. Paul, when he was a child, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a competitive fellow, I think. He competed academically so that he could be in the classroom of one of the two best teachers of Israel. Gamaliel was this man's name. When he grew up, he was a Pharisee, and he competed with others to be the best of the best, the most moral person, the most zealous for God, the most active. And so when Christians came on the scene, it was Saul who sought them out and persecuted them because he believed that they were bringing a false religion among the people of Israel. Being competitive can be a powerful trait, but Paul was a lot like Roy Riggles. See if there's any football fans here. Maybe you remember seeing a film of him running the wrong direction on the field in the 1929 Rose Bowl. For all his competitive spirit, Saul of Tarsus was a wrong way Riggles. He was striving and running full tilt the wrong way in his life, and he didn't even know it. And just as Riggles must have sat in the locker room after that game with a towel over his head, I think we find the Apostle Paul doing that again and again He must have felt that way when he thought about how he had persecuted the children of God. He had been zealous, but zealous against the purposes of the very God whom he wanted to serve. Did he hang his head in shame? Well, I'm sure that happened many times, as it does for all of us Christians. We all have run the wrong direction on the field of life. We all have been zealous for things and for purposes that we know are against the will of our Father in heaven. How many times have we heard that very first command of God, that we are to make Him first in our lives, that we are not to have any other gods? We've heard that. We know that. And when we think about that carefully, we realize that we have failed. We realize that individually. We realize that we have failed as a congregation at times to do as the Lord would have us do. You know, the rule of thumb in the United States is that 65% of a congregation will come to church on Sunday at most. Think about that. What would God see if He looked at our calendars? How do we spend our time? What would He say about our checkbooks? How we spend our money? What would He hear in our thoughts? You know, He knows all our thoughts. What would He think about us? We should be looking for a towel to put over our heads, I think. You see, it doesn't take something grand like persecuting the church in our past. It doesn't take something like that to show us that we have run the wrong way. It's the everyday things, I think, that have the most profound meaning when it comes to evaluating our stand with God. The everyday things show us that we are far from perfect. And the prize for the race of life is only given to those who are perfect. Not one sinful thing shall ever enter into the kingdom of heaven, the psalmist says. How can we continue to run the race of life when we've already fallen so short of the glory of God? When we've started running the wrong way, away from the perfection of heaven? When we failed to listen to the directions of God? When we haven't respected the rules and we've even pushed other racers out of the way and disqualified ourselves time and again? Paul faced that very dilemma. That's what he was thinking about. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, he faced that same dilemma. Moses, 3,500 years ago, rather, he faced that same dilemma. Why should the Almighty not throw me out into utter darkness? I've already gone the wrong way. Sometimes I've done it stubbornly. I've sinned. In fact, every Christian who's ever lived has struggled with this dilemma. God's law requires perfection of us. It's so simple. It's so easy to understand. Make God the top priority in your lives and your neighbors. Treat them with love and respect as yourselves. So simple. But we don't follow it. We don't do it. Paul knew it, yet he also knew the solution. And that's what he wants us to think about today, most of all. And it wasn't a solution that he dreamed up on his own. He said, Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus was the solution to his problem, and Jesus is the solution to our problem. He took hold of us. He brings us to the goal, and he was different from all the other runners. Jesus was the only one who truly came to the field to win. We all came into this world seeking after our own goals. All turned around in the pride that came into mankind's heart when Adam sinned so long ago. But Jesus, on the other hand, he came down from heaven, God's own Son, to win the race, and he came with his game face on. He wasn't about to be turned from the goal. Was it hard for him? You bet. The scriptures tell us that he faced every temptation that we face, and yet he overcame them all. He never sinned. He endured the cross. It was tough for him. He was really a human being like us. But since he was also God, there was nothing he could not do. And he went to that cross willingly to pay for our sins, every last one of them. He ran the race perfectly. And at the end, he didn't look at us with disdain as losers. No, he mounted that winner's pedestal and said, "My win is your win. My reward is your reward. My life is your life. You have won. Believe it. God himself says it." Jesus will not change the rules of the race, but he has written the rules for his own victory. And you are victors in him. Take hold of his hand through faith. Run the victory lap with him. That's what his resurrection begs you to do. It's true that we're far from perfect, but Christ, he really is perfect. Forget what is behind, Paul says. Forget with Paul and all the other Christians. Forget the life of failure that has plagued you so far. You're on the victory lap. Oh, it's true you're going to stumble now and then. It's true that in your weakness you'll turn around and get mixed up at times, but you're on the victory lap. Strain ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We all may cross the line and win now because Christ won the victory for us, because Christ was perfect in our place. And now he's perfecting us. God could whisk all of us away who believe in Christ. He could whisk us up to our heavenly home even now, but he doesn't do that because we are running amidst the masses who haven't been turned around by the good news yet. We've been turned around by that news, and we have joyful work to do, fellow Christians. Paul writes, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Let us live up to what we have already attained, Paul says. By our words and example, we have the opportunity to do what Roy Riegel's teammates did. We run alongside him and call out, "Wait, stop, you're going the wrong way, turn around." We needn't worry about winning, we've already won in Christ. We don't need to worry about receiving all kinds of scorn and persecution and funny looks and negative comments and guilt trips. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've already passed the goal in Christ. Yet God is also using this time not just to help those who don't know him, don't know their salvation in Christ yet. He's also finishing the job of transforming us inside and out into the winners that he has made us. Look at what he did with Saul. Look at what he is doing with us. He is perfecting us. When we actually do set foot in heaven after the victory lap of the Christian life, well, that will be completed. We will be perfect then. We will be without sin. We will be with our Father in heaven, just as his Son is with the Father in heaven. By then we will be able to be the runners that we were meant to be. It says that he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We will be perfect, like unto Christ, children of God, co-heirs with Christ of all things. We will have eternity. We won't have these diseases and troubles and difficulties that we face now. We'll be freed from all that. What bliss there shall be in heaven. So strive now. Push onward toward the goal of running the race for Christ, with Christ, in Christ. Where will the strength come from for us to do this? Well, Paul often wondered that, but it's from Christ, through his word, through the word that you're hearing preached right now, through the sacraments. Think back upon your baptism, which washed you clean of your sins. That's why I can say to you, your sins are forgiven. Think upon the Holy Supper. Christ himself gave that to strengthen. From Christ, through his word and sacraments, just as he promised, we are receiving strength upon strength to finish this race. And soon you will see him with your own eyes, face to face in heaven. So keep your mind on him and the prize of heaven, and run the race to the glory of this author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. To God alone be glory. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Amen.